Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. We're now in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. Last week I shared with you on the healing of a man who was born blind. The way this blind man was healed is recorded in the 6th verse of this chapter. It says, "When he had thus spoken," that is Jesus, "he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing." Our Father, we pray now that you will shed thy sacred light upon this declaration of thy holy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we will begin to cover most of the rest of this chapter, and since that includes 33 verses, we must forego the reading of all these verses because of the lack of time. In this passage, following the healing of the blind man, there was a great, great stir amongst the Pharisees, which led to division amongst them, and which caused them to say that anyone who would associate with Jesus would be cast out of the synagogue. The story has it that the parents of this man who was born blind did not want to lose their church membership, and so they refused to get involved, which resulted in this man born blind being estranged from his family. That leads us to this conclusion, that wherever the light of Jesus shines, there will be a separation of the righteous from the unrighteous. We are in the Gospel of John, which is the Gospel of Light. And the word light appears 24 times in this Gospel. And the Gospel of Light is the Gospel of Separation. This truth has not been very well accepted by the church throughout the centuries, and it is hardly recognized this very day. In this country, in the United States, it has become predominantly more popular to think of Jesus as a great uniter. I remember 50 years ago or so, there was this great emphasis on getting all the churches to unite together. It was called the Ecumenical Movement, but it failed. By the time it was all done, there were more denominations than there were before. Those who claim that Jesus is the uniter, the great reconciler of opposites, are those who don't seem to understand Jesus. They're those who live in the gray areas, and they believe that gray is the answer to the battle between black and white. They say if the sinner would just get a little better and the saint would just get a little worse, we could live happily together in the middle. They say if the sinner would become a little whiter and the saint would become a little blacker, we would all meet in the gray. Or if they say if the sinner would give up some of his sinful ways, and the righteous would give up some of his righteous ways, all the divisions would stop, all the church splits would end, and all the splits and turmoil in the families would also end. But my friend Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." So I clearly recall the experience I had in my second pastorate on this particular matter. When I arrived at that pastorate, the adult Sunday school class was studying a new book that had just come out. It was called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And this book has created devastation in many, many churches. The bottom line of this book basically is this: I will accept you with your sins and failures, and I will not bother you about them. I will look the other way, and I want you not to bother me about my sins and my failures. So I'm okay, you're okay. That's the attitude. Let's stop correcting each other. Let's stop preaching at each other. Let's stop disagreeing. Let's just ignore the differences. Of course, you can imagine the turmoil that I created when I got behind the pulpit of that second pastorate preaching, "You are not okay." There's an absolute standard of a holy God, and if we don't measure up to that standard, we are not okay. No, God is not a uniter of the black and the white. He's not a mixer of light and darkness, but rather God is a divider of the light from the darkness. And this we learn as early as the first chapter of the Holy Bible. God could have put this truth at the end of the Bible, like in the book of the Revelation, so that we could have been wondering and guessing about this whole thing until we finished reading our Bibles. But God feels it important that we would know about these basic truths of Christianity, of Christian theology, very early. And that is why in the beginning of the Bible we learn that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. This is the very first theological thought, or this is the very first doctrine that comes at us out of the whole Bible. So let us go back to Genesis chapter 1, and let me read to you from verse 3 and 4. It says there, "And God said, Let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." The very, very first words God ever spake to humankind is, "Let there be light." And then His first act, His very first act, my friend, after that, was to separate the light from the darkness. That is, God divided light from the darkness. This complements the truth I gave you earlier, that the light always separates the righteous from the unrighteous. From Genesis 1, we have this thread of light. We have this beam of light then shining through every single chapter all the way to the end of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. And it is by this light of God that we will be judged on Judgment Day. And this is brought out in many passages, but also by our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3:19, where Jesus says, "And this is the condemnation, or the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Oh, my friends, God is not a uniter of the black and the white. He's not a uniter of the dark and the light. He's a separator of those things. Then we move from Genesis 1 to the second chapter, and there God puts the light of His truth before the first man and the first woman, the second and third chapter. And there, my friends, we have the first mixing, or the first attempt at mixing the black and the white and the light and the darkness. For God said to Adam, "You shall not eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil." But the serpent amended that, and he said, "This is not exactly what you think. What you hear is not exactly what God had in mind." The serpent mixed a little bit of what God said with a little bit of what he said, telling Adam and Eve, "No, we don't have to have a polarity here. We don't have to have two extremes here. We can meet in the middle. We don't need to be that radical. If we mix the light and darkness of black and white, we're going to be all right." The serpent more or less said, "God and I are not enemies. We share different thoughts, but we come together in the middle. We have both have something to offer to you." And of course, you know the consequence of that awful deception that the devil brought to Adam and Eve. And so they were thrown out of the garden, and they were separated from the light, from the fellowship of God, because God hates the mixing of the light from the darkness. God is not the God of the gray. There's no place there. There's no room in the Bible for the gray. For gray theology, for gray thinking, it is either black or white all the way through. God, the Apostle John says, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Getting back to John 9 now, I said our basic theme for today is that the light always separates the righteous from the unrighteous. In other words, it brings division. And we have this division in this ninth chapter. We have a division developing amongst the Pharisees and their followers, that is, in the church. And we have division here developing in the family. How this all came about is going to be the subject of our next few minutes. Let us consider how this blind man reacted when he first received his sight. Now, before I get to that, there was a woman by the name of Fanny Crosby, and she wrote a number of hymns, some of which are probably in your hymn book, if you have a good one, and she was also born blind. Now, somebody told us someday, "We certainly feel sorry for you, Fanny, that you can't see the beautiful birds and the exploding of the blossoms in the springtime, of all the flowers about us and fruit trees, the sunrises and sunsets." But then Fanny responded by saying, "No, no, no. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. I have a greater blessing coming my way at the end of my life, because the first thing that I'll ever see will be Jesus himself." In reference to this man born blind, it is possible that Jesus was the first man he ever saw in his life, or more likely that he was one of the first men that he ever saw in his lifetime, without, of course, knowing that Jesus was the Son of God at that time. Now, getting into the story of this man, let us first observe that he was a person of uncommon nobility, because it says that after he washed the clay of his eyes at the pool of Siloam, he came back to Jesus. He came back to the one who healed him. And this puts him in the same classification as the one leper who amongst the ten returned after he was healed to Jesus to worship him. Dear one, if you have been healed by the Lord Jesus, if you have received a deliverance by the Lord Jesus from some calamity, you owe it to the Lord Jesus to come to him and to stay with him forever and ever. Now, this man came to Jesus without really knowing who Jesus was at the time, but I want to tell you, he ended up doing the same thing as the one leper did who came to Jesus after his healing. Because by the end of that day, it was a Sabbath day, we read in John chapter 9, in verse 38, that when Jesus revealed himself as a Son of God to him, that he fell down and that he then worshiped the Lord. Well, our time is slipping away again, so tune in again next week, because next week we're going to study this whole chapter in some more detail yet, to find out what kind of turmoil is created when a man begins to follow every ray of the light that God gives him. When people in our churches begin to follow all the revelations of God, all the truth of God, you must plan on turmoil, on upheaval. When somebody in our home gets saved and goes all for God, and the home is not all for God, plan on a great disturbance. For this happened when this man, born blind, received more and more of the light of Jesus. There was more and more turmoil and division. For wherever there's light, the light of God, the righteous, will be separated from the unrighteous. Father, we thank thee for thy truth this day. To thee be all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.